Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
Okay, recognizing your season or moment of divine visitation. Recognizing your season or moment of divine visitation. Father, we ask that your spirit will rest over these words, that as they come forth, they will meet us at the point of our needs. I ask for the anointing to speak your word as I ought to, with boldness. I ask that as I speak in the language which the Holy Spirit gives, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. As your word goes forth, it causes the wilderness of Kadesh to shake. It causes, oh God, it causes. It causes the calves to bring forth. As your word goes forth this morning, every mountain is made low. Every valley is filled. Every crooked road is made straight. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Every altar in the lives of men that does not represent your work is broken. And a highway is made for the King. This morning, we thank you. We thank you because you will do that. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I want to begin by saying that God visits men. Hallelujah. God is what? God visits men. I put it this way. I say God is a visitor. It's not English, but you get it. Praise the Lord. You get it? Hallelujah. God visits men. In the book of Genesis, God will visit Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Hallelujah. God loves to visit. When you read the book of Exodus, when you read the book of Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you hear the movement of the children of Israel. The Bible will say to us that every time they were to move, the Bible says a cloud will come upon the camp. The Bible says, and when the cloud is resting upon the camp, the meaning of it is that the camp must stay in that location. And whenever the cloud rises up, it means that it was time for the children of Israel to move. Because God visits men. And God walks with men. Psalm chapter 8 verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And who is the son of man that thou visitest him? God visits. And I'm praying for someone that this year there will be a mighty visitation in your life, in the name of Jesus. I want you to know that every man desires a visitation. Sometimes you don't even know that you need a visitation. Why? Because there are certain issues in your life that cannot be fixed by just somebody preaching the word. It needs God to get into your situation. Hallelujah. The man that was by the pool of Bethesda, the Bible says he was there for 38 years. My concern, often when I read that scripture, is not the 38 years that he was there. The question is, when did he arrive there? If he was 2 years old when they brought him there, it means he was 40 years by the time Jesus met him. If he was 10 years old by the time he was brought there, it means that he was 48 years, that he had lived half a century in that location. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? And Jesus said to him, would you want to be healed? And he gave Jesus a background why he was still in the situation he was in. He said, every time the angel stirs the water, he said, before I get in, somebody has gone in there ahead of me. It then means that it was not that the man was not trying. It was not that the man did not make effort. Listen to me. It's not everybody that you see in trouble that did not try. There are many times that people tried. There are many times that people put effort. People fasted. People prayed. People gave. People did. Are you hearing what I'm saying? People did everything that they can do. I have told you a story. I was trusting God for. I got admission. When I got admission into University of Maiduguri, I didn't choose UNIMED. I wanted to go to another university. And my father said, no, you're not going to go there and all of that. And I now went to my state and then chose UNIMED. And UNIMED said, you have the score, you have everything, but you did not choose us. You did not choose UNIMED. So we're not going to give you what you're asking for. So they gave me another course, which I didn't like. So I was just doing the course, but I didn't like it. At 300 level, I went and wrote JAMB. Now, before I wrote JAMB, I have an uncle. See, except God helps you, eh? When I entered the university, my uncle was the VC. The legal advisor to the school was an uncle. Another uncle was, you know, Nigerians now, if they give you something, now all your people you go bring. Now, you understand what I'm saying? The head of exams was my uncle. So the two people that were working towards me, helping me, that said they will do change of, they said, don't worry, just accept this course. In fact, they gave me other courses, but they didn't give me what I wanted. So I chose. They gave me history. I said I was not going backwards. They gave me political science. I said I don't want to enter this rofo-rofo that's happening in this country. Finally, I settled on a particular course. Not that I liked it. So, this is my uncle in exams and records. Who were the people who had responsibility for doing all this change of course? Do you know I will go to my uncle, sir? My uncle will say, you will pick up his phone. He will call the dean of the Faculty of Law. He will say he's in his department. Come, let's go and meet him. I will enter his car. We will drive to the location. He will say to me, wait for me. I will wait inside the car. He will walk up to the dean like this. He will walk up. I'm in the car. I'm seeing it. He will walk up to the dean. They will talk. They will laugh. Now, if you were in the car and you were watching, what do you think was happening? My case has been settled. He will go back to the car and meet me and say, it's done. It's done. Even when I come to his office from time to time, he will say, why are you coming? There's no need for you to come. One day, 3 years, my sister. One day, the information went out that people who want change of course have come out. I went to the board. See, I scanned that thing like 15 times. My name was not there. I went to my uncle's office. I wanted to go and complain. You know, maybe there's another list. Maybe the matter has not finished. As I got to the place like this, my uncle looked at me and said, congratulations. I'm sure you must have seen your name on the board. Do you know what? I didn't answer him. I didn't know what to say. If he had not even done what he did, if he didn't do that movie, I would have had something to say. He looked at me and said, he came and he stood up from his seat. He said, congratulations. I'm sure you must have seen. I just turned and left. And when I left, at that point I knew that except the Lord builds the house, they labor. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They labor in vain that build it. So that day I went back. I went and I registered for JAMB. This time around, I said, do you know what? When it finally happened, listen to me. I was somewhere. In fact, let me tell you. When it finally happened, my grandmother had died and we had gone home for the burial. I forgot that because I was still in school. I was writing exam at that period. So my cousin who helped me to buy the JAMB form called me to remind me that JAMB is tomorrow. So I left the village, arrived town around 8 p.m., went to their house to collect key point. How many of you remember key point? This is 3 years after I have left secondary school. So I just wanted to catch up. I took the key point like that to try and read one of the four courses you write in JAMB, and I slept off. The next morning, CCM, my cousin was banging the door. Please give me back my key point. That's how I went and wrote the exam. I was somewhere at a program, and a friend of mine walked up to me. He said, "Please, I want to ask you something." I said, "What is it?" He said, "Is your middle name so and so?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Your name is on the board, though, on merit. You've gotten admission into so-so on merit. Your name is on the board." We didn't visit anybody. We didn't go to check anybody. We didn't follow up anybody. May God come through for you. I remember leaving my uncle's office. I was so disappointed. I was so depressed. I was crossing the road. The car almost hit me. Because I was unaware of my surroundings. You could imagine that I followed up for 3 years. That this man, something will happen. This year it did not happen. Next year it did not happen. The next year again. You know, I was thinking that these people will come through for me. May you get a divine visitation. May it not be that you are depending on what man can do for you. Hey, are you hearing what I'm saying? That even if a man made a promise to you, even if a man made a commitment to you, may your eye not be on the man that made the promise. May your hope not be on the person that made the commitment. May your eye be on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. That is what I'm trusting that will happen to you, that he will come through for you this year in the name of Jesus. Every man needs a divine visitation. And there are things in your life that will not happen until you experience a divine visitation. This man was by the pool and Jesus met him. And he gave to him, he said, "I did my best." Every time, he said, when the pool is stirred, he said, "Before I get there, someone went ahead of me." It was not as if I didn't try. It's not as if I didn't study. It's not as if I didn't pray. It's not as if I didn't fast. But listen to me, there are times that it has to do that God must go out of what is normal and reach out to you and bring deliverance for you. And may that year be this year in the mighty name of Jesus. I said, may that year be this year in the mighty name of Jesus. Every man needs a visitation. Every man needs a divine visitation. The purpose of a divine visitation is one, to fulfill a promise that God has made. Whenever God visits, it is first and foremost because God made a commitment. It may be a prophetic commitment. It may be a specific commitment to you. You remember Sarah? God made a promise to Abraham. He said, "I will bless you with a child and you will become a nation." Did God not make that commitment? But for 25 years, that commitment was not fulfilled. Tonight, I come to speak to somebody who has been waiting upon the word of the Lord. I pray that may the word of the Lord come to pass over your life in 2026. In the name of Jesus, that every word that you have received, that every promise from scripture that you have seen, that every revelation that has come into your heart, I decree and declare that in this year 2026, may this be the year of the fulfillment of every promise and every commitment from the Lord to you in the mighty name of Jesus. 25 years. And then one day, the Bible says God came to visit Abraham. And the Bible says, and when the men came and sat with him and talked with him and they were about to leave, the Bible says, and they said, call Sarah. All through the conversation, Sarah was not included. Everything that was happening, Sarah was not involved. From the moment they came to the moment when they sat and ate, even Sarah prepared the meal, but Sarah was not invited to the conversation. But do you know that that visitation was not about Abraham? That visitation was about Sarah. I am praying for somebody, whether by design or by happenstance, I'm praying that this year you will come into something that you might not have seen it coming, but it has been organized from eternity past. It has been put upon the calendar, and I'm praying that you're going to come into that calendar this year in the name of Jesus. If you read the beginning of that scripture, I think it's Genesis chapter 21. If you read it from verse 1, the Bible says, and when the Lord has decided to fulfill the promise that he had made unto Sarah. But listen,
When the angels came, they didn't ask of Sarah. They didn't talk about Sarah. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. May the Lord do unto you as he has said. May the Lord do unto you as he has spoken. If the word has come out from his lips, he's not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent of his words. As he said it, he will make it to come to pass. In the name of Jesus. When God gets ready to fulfill his word. Galatians chapter 4 verse 4. Galatians chapter 4 verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. When the fullness of time was come. Hallelujah. The second reason God will bring a visitation is in response to a prayer. It's in response to a prayer. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. The angel came to Daniel and said to Daniel, Daniel, from the first day that thou humblest thyself and you have decided to pray, your prayers were heard. And I am sent. And I am sent in response to that prayer. I pray for you today, this year, may the Lord hear your prayers. May the Lord remember your offerings. May the Lord remember your sacrifices in the name of Jesus. May your seeds that have been sown not die in the ground. May the rain of heaven fall upon them. May they bring forth a thousandfold return in the mighty name of Jesus. In response to a prayer. In response to a prayer. Acts chapter 10. Verse 1. Acts chapter 10 verse 1. There was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Your prayers have been heard. Your almsgiving has been seen. Your prayers, when God gets ready to answer your prayers, there is a visitation that takes place. Hallelujah. When God decides to show you mercy, there are some people, it's not because they pray, though. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is not a license to now decide. Since some people are not praying and they're getting me, let me also go and sleep. What am I praying for? Praise God. Some people, God will show them mercy. Because all their efforts, God knows within his wisdom that all their efforts cannot bring about what they desire. All their efforts cannot bring about what he wants to do in their lives. And so therefore, God will arise. I will arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her has come, yet the set time is here. For the race is not to the swift, neither is the battle to the strong, nor food come to them who are wise, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For it is not by might, neither is it by power, but it is by my spirit, said the Lord. And it is not of him that willeth, neither of him that runneth, but it is of the Lord that showeth mercy. For mercy triumphs over judgment. I'm praying this year that you are going to experience uncommon, unusual, the bountiful mercies of God. The Bible says, morning by morning, the Bible says his mercies are new every morning because his compassions, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. May the Lord show you mercy. May the Lord show you mercy. Every visitation is attached to a timetable. Listen to me. Every visitation is attached to a timetable. You may not know it. You may not have planned it, but God planned it. You may not know it. You may not expect it. You may not have designed to experience it, but God planned it. God planned it. Every divine encounter has three ingredients. Listen very carefully. Every divine encounter has three ingredients. Every divine encounter has time attached to it. Look at your neighbor, say time. Every divine encounter has a place that it takes place. And every divine visitation has a person that God will use. Listen to me. One of the things that you must not play with this year. Now, let me explain something to you about the prophetic. Every time God gives you the prophetic, are you hearing what I'm saying? Your assignment is to sit with that prophetic, understand the meaning of that prophetic. So let me do something. I'll just sit on this point a little bit. If you read the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, and one of our favorite verses, for I know the plans that I think towards you, they are plans of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So let me give you a background. What happened was that the children of Israel had sinned against God, and God had allowed the Babylonians to come and war with them, win the battle. In fact, God spoke to Jeremiah and said, look, when Nebuchadnezzar, who is the king of Babylon, comes, don't waste your time fighting, because I've already given you people into his hand. They tried to fight. Babylon dealt with them, burnt the temple, carried the people off and took them, because there were three nations that warred with Israel. It was the Persians, or the Assyrians, what it was called, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and then it was the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and the Persians. The Persians are the Greeks. Now, all of them had different war strategies. The Assyrians, when they come to a nation, they kill everybody. The Assyrians will destroy everything. That was the reason why Jonah refused to go to Nineveh, because he was offended with them. If they enter a city, they will kill everybody. They will kill men, kill women, kill children. Nobody survives. But the Babylonians had a different strategy. The Babylonians will carry you, the whole nation, take them to their own country, then take their own people and bring them to your own country. So they will colonize you fully. So when the Babylonians won, they took the people to Babylon. When they took them to Babylon, the Jews, you know, they don't relate with other people. So they went to Babylon and just decided to stay. That was, if you are reading the New Testament and you hear the word synagogue, synagogue started in Babylon because they didn't have temples where they could meet, and they don't mix with people. So they started building those places where they meet. That's why you have synagogue. If you hear Pharisee started in Babylon, because when they got there, some people say, least, because they had burnt the temple, they said, least we lose our religion. So some group of them began to write down the traditions of the fathers, began to write down the laws. Are you getting me? Now, that sect of people that wanted to maintain strictly the religion of the Jews are the people who eventually, you know, who metamorphosed and became what we call the Pharisees. Now, listen to me carefully. When they were there, they refused to mingle. They refused to relate. They refused to be part of what was happening. Then the Lord gave Jeremiah a word. He said, go to them and tell them, build houses. Plant, because this captivity is of me. Build houses. Plant vineyards. Marry. Then he said, because I know the plan that I have towards you. That even though you have sinned, even though you have misbehaved, I still have a plan for you. He said, there are plans of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, that's where we stop reading that verse. If you continue, You will hear God will say, for after 70 years, I will visit you. In other words, God was saying, you will be in Babylon for 70 years. So calm down. Better build. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, it was when that 70 years was complete that Daniel awoke in Daniel and began to pray in Daniel chapter 10. It was that prayer that Daniel was doing. When the Bible says, and Daniel understood by books. Which book? The book of Jeremiah. That the captivity of Israel was to be for 70 years. So Daniel arose and began to intercede based on what God has already spoken. Are you understanding that? That is why your prayer must be scriptural. So Daniel now begins to pray based on the promise that God has made that after 70 years, I will visit those people. And God raised an intercessor. Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying. I want you to understand the prophetic. God raised an intercessor called Daniel. Because without an intercessor, even though God has spoken, the word will not come to pass. So God raised an intercessor in the person of Daniel. So Daniel, the first assignment was to go into the books and to see what is it that God has spoken concerning this matter. Oh, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? And now he begins to intercede based on the promise that God had made. Are you hearing me? So, what was I talking about when I came here? I was teaching something when I came here. So, there is time to every visitation that God is going to do. So, God said, after 70 years, I will visit you. So, their captivity was to be for 70 years. So, it was the prayer of Daniel. So, let me finish that story. When Daniel began to pray, then God raised Ezra. Ezra was the first person to go back to the land of Egypt, to the land of Israel that has been destroyed. And try to see how he can rebuild it. He didn't finish it. Then God raised Nehemiah. Then Nehemiah went. So when you read the Bible, and the Bible says, and Nehemiah built the walls and finished the work. It was a response to the prayer of Daniel. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? Are you seeing how the prophetic works? So now, every time God gives you a prophecy, now that's the point I was making. You have an assignment. It's not good enough for you to hear that this is the year of visitation. You must study what God means by. That is why there are scriptures that are attached. Your assignment is to gather those scriptures and to sit with it and to study it and to understand how is this visitation going to be. And is anybody hearing what I'm saying? When the angel visited Mary and said to her, you will give birth to a son and he shall save his people. And the first thing Mary said, how shall this thing be? Listen to me. When, are you hearing what I'm saying? When God gives a prophetic word, your assignment is to study. The Bible says in the book of Peter that these people, they checked, get me that scripture. The Bible says they checked. They tried to see at what, in what manner and how was the word that was given going to be like. That's the assignment of the prophetic. That's the assignment of the prophetic. So, there's time. Attached. There's time attached. And listen to me. If you are not careful to know the time, and when I say time, it can be that God has given a prophetic timetable. Or it may be, that's why in the introduction to the title of the message, I said how to recognize or how to identify your season or moment of visitation. Because sometimes it may be a moment. Hallelujah. Look at that. Go back to verse 10. Go back to verse 10. Media. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you? Which means there was a grace that was supposed to come. There was a grace that was given, that was prophesied about. Verse 11 now. Searching what? Or what manner of time? The Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So, can I go in deeper a little bit? It means, listen to me, it means that when God gives a prophetic word, sir, sometimes there may even be some challenge that may come. If you study the prophetic word, you will, when the challenge comes up, you will know that your salvation is nearer than it first came. Oh. That the meaning of the challenge is actually a confirmation that the glory that should follow is about to show up. So when you see the challenge, when you understand prophecy, the challenge will cause you to rejoice and not to cry. Oh, is anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight? So you must understand timing. You must understand timing. And I say it can be a season, it can be a moment. So Jacob was going to his father's house. There was a prophecy upon his head. He was going to his uncle's house. The Bible says he came to a place called Bethel. And at the place called Bethel, the Bible says he laid down to sleep. And when he was sleeping, a moment of visitation showed up, sir. The Bible says he had a dream that angels were ascending and descending. Oh! I wish Jacob understood it. Because Paul will write about that in the book of Ephesians. He said, he that descended was the one who ascended first. And when he ascended, he gave gifts unto men. Oh God. That was a night of gifting in the life of Jacob. Read it well. If you have not read my book, Understanding and Praying the Scriptures, this will be a good year to buy a copy of that book and read. Jacob woke up. He woke up. The Bible says, while the dream was going on, in other words, in the heart of the visitation, he woke up. You know, let me say this. There are many of us, the Holy Spirit often wakes us up to pray. Something is happening in the spirit. You know, let me tell you something. I've had some funny experience. I don't know if you have had it before. I've had experiences where cockroach will just come on my body in the night. Has it happened to anybody before? There was no cause for cockroach to come on your body in this cold season. No, cockroaches don't move around. Then one cockroach will just climb your body, just enter your bed. And the assignment of that cockroach is to make sure you wake up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's to make sure you wake up. Your dog will start barking unnecessarily. Many times, and then for some of us, we will actually get a tap. Something will tap you from sleep. Hello, it's a season of visitation. I may not be able to get there tonight, but one of the things, I wanted to arrive at the point where I will talk about the signs of a visitation. So that when it begins to show up, maybe we'll do that next Sunday. When it begins to show up, you realize that this is a visitation about to happen. So listen to me. He was there. He woke up in the heart of the visitation. The Bible says, and he went back to sleep. Look at that. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angel of God ascending and descending on it. Yes, next verse. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, and all of that. Now, when you read it down, there's a place where it says, and he woke up, and he went back to sleep. Then the Bible says, he woke up again in the morning. And the first thing he said, And Jacob awake out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Now let me tell you something. Please get that book, Praying and Understanding Scriptures. You know what? Jacob woke up, man of God. And when Jacob, the next verse, Jacob begins to pray. May you not pray unnecessary prayers. May you not fast unnecessary fasting. Jacob wakes up and begins to pray. If you read all the things Jacob prayed for, in the earlier verse when God begins to speak, God had already made the promise to Ahab, to Jacob. And what Jacob needed to do was that night was to wake up and say, yes, Lord, I receive it. Jacob slept. And when he woke up, what he should have just received became the next prayer point, prayer and fasting. And that was how Jacob will go to the house of Laban and spend the next 21 years of his life. It took him 21 years before he met the man at the river. So listen to me. Visitation is in cycles. But visitation is attached to time. It's attached to season. Hear me. You know what we call delay? You know there's a theology in Nigeria about delay. Delay in childbirth. Listen to me. Many times, it's not a delay. Many times, it is missed seasons and missed opportunities. I'm praying over somebody tonight that this year, the the Lord will revisit your case. The Lord will revisit your matter. Listen to me. Seated in this hall today are people who knew they missed moments in their lives. If you will tell yourself the truth, you know that you would not be who you are now, or you will not be in the situation you are now, if not because you missed a visitation. And when I say missed visitation, don't necessarily think that something came to you and then you were not aware. Sometimes something came to you, but you took a choice that you shouldn't have taken. So you missed a visitation. I'm praying this year that there will be a restoration, that the clock will go round and arrive again for you at the point where you should have jumped into the pool. I'm praying for a fresh restoration, a fresh visitation in the name of Jesus. There are people who spoke when they should have been silent. There are people who kept silent when they should have spoken. And as a result of that, a season passed them. I always give this example. One of my mentors told me something. He said, there was a young man that comes for his conferences. And the young man comes from a very hinterland village. He comes for his conferences in the hinterland. The guy will struggle and come for his meetings. And he was always seeing the guy in his meetings. So one particular time, he organized a minister's meeting. And he specifically called the guy. I said, have you seen the advert for this meeting? The guy said, yes. He said, are you coming? The guy said, yes, I'm coming. And during the time of the meeting, the guy didn't show up. So he said, listen, he said, when he called the guy and said, are you coming? He said, he's coming. He said, he took a check and wrote a check. This is like a rural missionary. He said, he wrote a check, 8 million naira, and put it in his handbag. When the boy comes, he will give him. The boy did not come. He called him after the conference. He said, you said you were going to come for conference. I didn't see you. He said, yes. Say, what happened? He said, I just woke up on the day to come and I just didn't feel like coming. Let me tell you something. I'm teaching you the theology of delay. The first time when you see people delay, when you see delay in the life of a man, is missed opportunities. The second time when you see delay, it's what is called demonic interactions. That is that something Satan sold an idea to you. You just picked it up. You just bought it. And the intention of that, are you hearing me, was to ensure that a mighty visitation does not happen in your life. He said he just woke up that morning. In fact, what got to me was the fact that he could explain it. I just woke up and I just didn't feel. May you not follow your feelings. The third reason why many people experience delay actually is not a delay. It is the program of God that the time for it has not come. You're not understanding what I'm saying. You see, let me tell you something. There was no prayer Zechariah and Elizabeth would have made to have John the Baptist before it was 6 months to the birth of Jesus. John the Baptist had to be born 6 months to when Jesus was going to be born. He was supposed to be the elder brother of Jesus for 6 months because his ministry was going to be 6 months ministry. Everything you heard about John the Baptist was 6 months. And his assignment was to introduce Jesus. And his assignment, are you hearing what I'm saying? So he had a ministry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And they were the ones that were designed to give birth because he was a cousin of Jesus. Can I say something to somebody? Can I bring a word of consolation to somebody? Your delay may not be a product of any demon. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. Your delay may just be that God is priming for a particular moment in time. The Bible, are you hearing what I'm saying? There's something in scripture called due time. I'm praying for you that this year will be a due time, a due season for you in the name of Jesus. The last reason why many people do not get this is disobedience. You know, the first thing I taught this year was walking in obedience. The reason why sometimes people don't get visitations is because those people, they stand in disobedience to God. And listen to me, rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Many people stand in disobedience. And when you respond to the desires of your flesh, you will always stand in disobedience to God. Timing. Number two. So there's a time to every visitation. Number two, there's a place to every visitation. There's a place to every visitation. Jeremiah chapter 18 verse 1. Quickly, Jeremiah 18 verse 1. Jeremiah 18 verse 1. Media. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, verse 2. Arise and go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause thee to hear my words. There I will cause thee to hear my words. Please, I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me very well. There are places God visits. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God has timing. God has locations. And let me say this. God does not give you location because that's the only place he can talk. He gives you location because it is there that you will understand what he's saying. It is here that... Are you hearing what I'm saying? I am amazed at believers. You have been a Christian 5 years, 10 years. They ask you, when did you get born again? I got born again in 1991. I got born again in 1995. You have never for one day carried your Bible and went on retreats. All the things you are doing, how did you hear God? The first time the Lord told me to go to a certain place and pray, I asked him. I said, in the whole of this country, you didn't see a good place I can pray. Then I was studying something. Then I had a particular man of God say, God told him to go to Kenya and pray. I said, you have to fly and go and pray. Then I had another man of God say, God told him to go to Israel to go and pray. Then I understood that there are places often that God will choose as the place where he wants to talk to you. Not because God cannot speak in other places, but because God, there's an environment that God knows. When I tell you something, you will understand it there. Sometimes God takes you to seasons of retreat because he knows that the distractions of life will not allow you to hear him. And let me tell you, those who advance in God are people who learn not only to go to where God is telling them, but to create moments that they can hear God speak. Right now, let me tell you something. Sometimes walking with God is like your phone. How many of you have ever put on your phone and then you got a notification? There are downloads waiting for you. Because you are so busy, you were using the phone all through, but you didn't know that some of your applications... One time we bought a tablet or something for the accounts department. And the accounts, they were only doing their business on it. One day, the system just stopped working. They took the system for repair. And the people said, sir, it cannot be repaired. They said, why? They said there's a download that has been waiting for more than 1 year. You people were supposed to make the download. You did not do the download until that something this thing expired. So this system is useless. Listen to me. There have been people that have been marking time, not because God does not want to do something in their life, but because there are downloads, there are instructions that God has been, and now you have so much instruction, but your ear didn't hear. Not that you are even disobedient, but your ear didn't hear that this is... Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you have backed up instructions that you have not done. There's a place. For every visitation, there's a place. There's a place. And finally, to every visitation, there's a person. To every visitation, there's a person. One of the things I'm praying for you this year is that you will not be careless with the people that God has put in your life. Please, I want you to hear me. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. I close with this last point. Everything God will do in a man's life, there are people that God has strategically, are you hearing me? Has positioned in your life. And those are the people that hold the key to that thing that you want to do or that place you want to enter. I want to say something, but I will not say something about in this city. Are you hearing me, Pastor Zaya? In this city, somebody's ministry closed because of the way that person treated certain people. In this city. In this city. A particular person, the ministry closed because of the way that person treated certain people. What you are trying to see, listen to me. The doors you are trying to enter, people are holding the key. you are not hearing what I'm saying. The doors you are trying to enter, people are holding, they are holding the entrance to that. And let me tell you something. Many times, it costs them nothing to open the door. That is why I posted something today for yesterday. I said, respect travels faster than intelligence. You can be intelligent, you can be capable, you can have capacity, you can have ability, but if you dishonor people, the door, are you hearing what I'm saying? And let me tell you something. Dishonor is not just what you say. Dishonor is the way you act. People read dishonor. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They say, are you hearing what I'm saying? People read dishonor. There is somebody, listen to where we read in the book of Acts chapter 10. Send for Simon. He will come and he will tell you the things that thou oughtest to do. Just imagine that Cornelius has allowed his soldiers to beat up Simon yesterday on his way. Now God said, go and bring. When he sees them, say, ah, are you not? Say, I'm not going. Say, God said, I'm not going anywhere. God said, I am not going. The prayers of Cornelius, he can give alms from today to the end of the year. He can pray. The key was in the hand of Simon. Let me tell you, are you hearing what I'm saying? There are people that all they need to do. Let me tell you, I had an experience. Let me just close with this. Let me tell you. I was just last week, I was going to Abuja. I went, there was no car. I had a flight for Lagos. There was no car in the park. I just drove to the park with my car. God, there was only one car going. And it was full before we arrived. As I stood there, I was calculating. I just said to myself, the car was not in the best condition. I just went to park with it. I just entered the car. I turned. I said, we're going to Abuja. Because I looked, I have a flight to catch in Abuja for 7 p.m. This is 6:30. I was at the park in Gombe. No car. I just said, let's turn. Let's go. Let's start going. God had mercy upon me. God brought John. John took us. As we got into, is it Maraba now? Where is that place in Abuja? When we got to Maraba, sea hold up. And that was around 5 o'clock. And I was going to, those of you that know, I was going to the airport in Abuja. That's around 5 o'clock. We passed that place. We were going towards Lugbe. Sea, the hold up was like from here to Kwadong. We were coming down. We saw the hold up. Now listen to me. As we were going, at the park here, I let me confess. Can I confess? Can I make a confession? It's just we in church. Just we. Look at your neighbor. Just we. You know, I only went to park with sufficient money to take me and my wife. I didn't have. So when we got the park and we went with the Sienna. We got to the park. I didn't have sufficient money. So the guys, the union guys were my guys. So I walked up there. I'm not saying this speaker. Because there were a lot of people. So some people didn't hear. I'm not going to say no phone. So, and I said to them, give me, I want to pick the people. So I said, because I don't want trouble. You know, there are people who you travel with that become trouble for you. So I looked, I said, either give me young people or give me women. But I don't want the wahala of some men. Because if you stop to greet somebody somewhere, it will become a fight. So, there was this particular guy that came around the time we came. And he wanted to follow us. And I really didn't want to pick a man. I really didn't want to pick an adult man because of their trouble. So, I think the man sensed that I didn't want to. So, the man walked up to me and said, sir, please let me follow you. I still didn't want. My God, there were some things I was running away from. So I now told the union people, go and talk to Pastor Mao, took me to Pastor. I said, go and talk to Pastor Mao. So somehow Pastor Mao allowed the man. Sir, Rukai was with us. That was the man that saved us. When we entered, the man from Kefi, and I told them, because we had some challenges on the road, the car was bad and everything. So when I now told him, I said, I have a flight to catch. He said, what time? I said, 7. He said, sir, have they checked you in? Do you have luggage? I said, I have luggage. He said, sir. We were getting to Abuja. The man said, he told John, he said, follow me. There's a shortcut in Abuja, except you know the men that know the shortcut. Hey! There is, in Abuja, there's a shortcut. But if you don't know the man that knows the shortcut, sir, the man was a Muslim. The man took us through every shortcut. From the moment we hit that barrack, as you are coming, that barrack, as the moment we hit the place, the man will tell John, go this way. He said, I heard this may be the possibility. Go this way. The man got into the airport with us, carried my bag. The man is the national, he is the national engineer of Northeast Development Commission. Not a small boy. He was carrying my bag and he was saying, sir, we cannot miss your flight. He said, last year I was going on vacation with my family. He said, I missed the timing or something. I had to pay. I had to pay an extra 2.5 million. And he was carrying my bag. He was carrying my bag and running. And he was saying, we're going on vacation with my family. He said, I had to pay about 2.5 million. Rukaya was there. Because Rukaya was carrying the other bag. He was running. I wanted to say, sorry, I'm not really qualified. May God give you a man. May you recognize the man for your moments of visitation. And prosperity. I am praying over the life of somebody this year that God will send you one man. Oh, listen to me. You don't need too many people. I said, you don't need too many people. I said, you don't need too many people. May God send you one person. And may you see that person. We're living down. I didn't have money to return. That's the gospel truth. That morning I woke up and I prayed. I said, God, I need so amount of money to finish this journey. That morning, there was somebody who did us good for in-gathering Abuja. So I felt that I should go and see the person and say thank you in person. I called the person. The person said, sir, no need to come. I went to the person. The person had a challenge. I sat down in the person's office. And the person began to share with me this challenge he has been having for years. And as he sat there, utterance came. So I began, the person's brother was in the office. They were sitting down with us. I began to speak, sincerely speaking. I just knew, what you see, there's a way utterance works. When utterance comes, you will know that you are dealing with the issue. But you will not know what is the issue that you are dealing with. When I finished speaking, the brother of the person looked at me and said, sir, sincerely, if I didn't know you, I would think somebody told you what is going on. He said, this thing is the exact issue. He said, and all of us have been telling him that this is what he needs to do. We walked downstairs with the person. And the person looked at me and said, sir, he just walked up to me closely. He said, and the brother was there, he said, sir, I'll send you something small to put in your fuel. God bless you. The brother that I didn't minister to, he also walked up and said, sir, I'll send you. By the time they sent, it was to the T. I said, it was to the T. It was as though somebody went and whispered to them and told them, this is what, may God send you the people. And when God sends you the people, may you recognize the people. May you not be blind to the people that God is sending your way. Rise to your feet this morning.
Gateway Christian Center.
Experience Life.